to the World Peace Diet Circle, your course notes for tonight's call with your resources are in the membership site for all Circle members, so thank you for joining the call. If you've got questions during the night, it's going to be *2 to raise your hand, or you can listen on the web player in the membership site. So now, without delay, our host and leader, Dr. Will Tuttle.
Thank you, Steve. I am so glad that we have this opportunity to get together again on our World Peace Diet Circle for October 2012. This is the third Thursday, which is actually the fourth Thursday, so thank you all for being flexible. We had really, both of us, an impossible third Thursday last Thursday. And I hope you're all doing well, and I think we're going to have a really terrific show, not really a show, it's more of a conversation tonight. We have as our special guest Steve Prusak. So this is, I think, really going to be very interesting, and I think there's a lot that we can learn from Steve, and I think there's a lot, obviously, that we can learn from each other here. So before I jump into the opportunity that we have to hear from Steve and learn more about what he has to offer in terms of helping to bring the vegan message to the world, I'd like to invite all of us to maybe just take a moment and connect with the reason that we're together on this call, to feel our connection with the light that shines in our own heart, the light of compassion, the light of joy, the light of freedom, the light of creativity and the willingness to open to the truth beyond the cultural programming that we're continually being bombarded with, to open to our intuition, to a higher knowing that we can access within ourselves. And we give thanks for this light that shines in our heart, that shines in every cell of our being, and that we know shines in the hearts, really, I think, of all human beings. Very often gets repressed, but it's always shining. So just feeling this presence that we share with each other on this circle, and the love that we have for each other and for the animals of this earth and for the whole human family, the whole web of life here, the beautiful abundance of this beautiful planet, and feel the love perhaps also that we feel for the cause of justice and freedom and equality, this great work that we're on together to help not only live lives of kindness and compassion, but also to help in some way bring this message to the larger community of humanity. And the sense of urgency, which I think is healthy, a sense of knowing that we are part of an awakening on this planet, that it's really time for us to change the way we're living and to stop killing 75 million animals every day for food just in the United States alone, to remember the compassion that's in our hearts and that we can feed everyone on a fraction of the land and with a fraction of the pollution and resources that are being used, and that we can live with sanity and with beauty on this earth. It's definitely possible. And so thank you all for the efforts that I know you've been making in your lives over the last few weeks since the last call, and even before that. I know there's an enormous amount of wisdom and wit and awareness gathered together on this call. So feel free, as Steve said, to press *2 if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment as we're going along here this evening. And we just close with just knowing that all of the ripples that radiate out into the world from our being together here this evening will be to bring peace and healing to our planet. And so Madeline and I are still in Ohio here. No, we're in Michigan, actually. We just came from Ohio yesterday into Michigan. So we're in the Midwest, and we just completed a wonderful series of lectures throughout the Midwest since the last call. Here in Ohio, back in California, the San Francisco, VegFest and the International Vegetarian Union Annual Congress for the first time in about, I think, 30 years within the United States in San Francisco. And so it's been a really busy time. There's a lot of information on your resource guide that Steve has put into your inboxes, into your membership sites. And so there's quite a lot of videos of some of my talks, actually. And I was on a radio show the other night, which I thought was really excellent, which I'll talk about maybe a little bit later. And also I've written some articles. And we also went to Google World Headquarters and spoke there, which I'd like to maybe talk a little bit about that, too. It was very interesting, too. So it's been a very eventful month for us, and it seems like we've been able to reach a lot of people. In Cincinnati, we had, of course, the World Peace Diet Facilitator training there, which was combined with another training called Becoming the Peace. Maybe you want to report about that a little bit, too, after we hear from Steve. There's so much news, actually, so many things happening. And then we were up in Cleveland just recently, giving some lectures there, and now we're on our way to Iowa. So we'll go ahead and talk about those things, I think, a little bit later, because I think it'd be just great to have a chance to hear a little bit from Steve and find out some of what he's learned over the years about bringing the vegan message to the world, primarily through the Internet. So I'll give a little bit of some of Steve's background and remind all of you again, of course, all of us, that this is our call. If you would like to say anything, feel free to do so. Just press star 2 and then we'll know that you'd like to say something. So Steve Prusak is an author, and he's also a radio host, and he's also the founding editor, I believe, of the Veg World magazine, vegworldmag.com, which is a new online magazine that's strictly vegan. And he's created this very successful magazine, featured, it's being, as we've heard, actually featured as What's Hot on Apple's newsstand. It's one of the top grossing digital downloads. It's so great. Wow, fantastic. He also hosts an award-winning radio show called Raw Vegan Radio, which really has done a lot of wonderful interviews. I've been on Raw Vegan Radio over the years quite a few times, and he's an excellent interviewer. He's also, we've worked together spreading the message, the vegan message, and he's also co-produced some of the world's largest online vegetarian summits, the Vegan Palooza that we did together this past summer, and then before that in the spring, the Raw Food World Summit, Raw Palooza. And he's also worked with Jay Cordich, the School of Juicing, with an online coaching and mentoring program. And also he's the co-author of a book that's coming out in 2 weeks, published by Penguin Books, called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Juice Fasting, and with, I think, Bo Rinaldi. So Steve's been a busy guy here the last few years, I know, doing really a lot to help bring the vegan message to the world. And I think what we're looking forward to this evening is to hear some of the experience that you've had, Steve, and some things you can share with us, because I think one of the best ways we can bring the vegan message to the world is through the interconnected communications that we have with the computer and internet access. So welcome to our circle. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, Will. It's great to be here. It does sound like I've been busy.
I know it. I know you have. It's been great work, too. So, let's just go ahead and get started. I guess what I would ask maybe in the beginning, and just feel free to take it away here, mm-hmm. is if you could enlighten everyone who's listening a little bit with some of what you think are some of the most salient points for not only, I think, bringing the vegan message successfully to people. You know, we had Sassy Knutson on last month, I think it was, mm-hmm. and he was talking about her page that she has and her vegan coaching page and everything, which was very interesting. But to talk about, you know, what you've been doing and what you think we could learn from that, because I think there's a lot of people on the call who would like to be able to either, A, spread the message on the internet, or B, spread the message and make some money doing it at the same time, which I think is totally legitimate in the sense that I think as more and more of us understand the importance of veganism, we need to, I think more and more people need to learn, and there's no reason why we can't be reimbursed for the efforts that we're making. I think that's part of the way things work here. So I'd love to hear some of your insights about that, and I'm sure people would too. And I just want to remind everybody to feel free to ask Steve any questions you might have as we go along. So Steve, you could talk about some of those things. That would be great.
Yeah, I love this, Will, because when you're starting out, there's so many things to learn and so many directions to take and so many mistakes I made, and I hope I can share some of that and everyone can learn, you know, what the best steps to take are and not maybe learn from my mistakes. And I'm really open to sharing everything I've learned because it's been years that I've been doing this and immersing myself in figuring out how I could support my family and do what I love, because that's, you know, getting this message out for me is my passion. And if this is your passion, I mean, if your passion is getting the vegan message out, and I would imagine everyone on this call, that is their message, because why else would you be here?
Right.
But even if it's related to this, what if it's animal rights, if it's a niche of the vegan overall message, or, you know, whatever it is, first of all, I'm confident there are ways, lots of ways, in fact, more ways than ever, to spread your message out in a unique way through all these different media devices that the internet allows. I don't think the opportunities have ever been as big as they are now to get your voice out there through all the different platforms that the internet allows, and that you become the media. It's never been as affordable or as accessible as it is now.
Yeah, you're right. It used to be we were kind of at the mercy of big media, and now we actually, in many ways, have this great window of opportunity where we can grab a hold of things and create our own media streams, and the sky's the limit, really, with how many people we're reaching.
It really is, and it's an exciting time for it. So I think if I was going to think about the steps, the first step would be to figure out what it is you want to do, what it is you want to create, how you want to be unique in getting your message out. And that's the first thing. And the next thing would be the delivery method, because you can easily set up a blog or have a podcast like I did with Raw Vegan Radio, which was a combination, because Raw Vegan Radio is a podcast and it is a blog. So I'm able to, you know, deliver content in both ways. You can do videos. You can set up a YouTube channel free. And all of this can lead to ways to monetize by doing things like ebooks and webinars and things like that. Those are ways virtually. And then, of course, we can talk about marketing, which is, I think, the biggest part of all of it.
Wow. Right. And then, okay, so writing, which would be blogs, speaking, which would be podcasts, video, which would be basically get out your iPhone and start talking and have somebody holding it on you, and you can do cooking classes or you can hold forth. I mean, I guess, again, we're only limited by the creativity and maybe for some people the amount of time they think they have, but I think there's so much here we can talk about. What would you like to start with? I mean, what you started out, maybe like step number one, you said to connect with the unique message that you have to bring. Can you say anything more about that? It's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I can say, first of all, that everything leads to the next path, because since I started with a podcast and it was just an audio delivery thing, and then we started doing blogging on there, and then I started transcribing those and making ebooks out of them. And then it all led to this VegWorld magazine, which incorporates everything. This magazine has videos, audio interviews, and almost like blogging, because we're bringing all these articles into it with the leaders in vegetarian living, vegan living. Everything leads to the next thing, and you can incorporate everything into, like I have, into a magazine, which takes advantage of all the media, and that's how my magazine stands out, because most of the magazines that you'll find in the Apple newsstand are just duplicated copy of what you find on the newsstand. They're not taking advantage of the video and the audio and the ways that the internet can connect with it, where it's just amazing what the opportunities are. And that's why I'm really excited about sharing with everybody on the call, because I think it's your imagination that could limit this. I'm not saying go quit your full-time job, run out and have a blog, and you're going to become, you know, successful overnight. But I am saying if you start taking the steps towards doing this and put some energy into it like I did, because I worked a full-time job, and then I just started podcasting in the evening as a hobby. Then the very first advice I got was to, you know, once you launch whatever it is you're going to launch, and I'll give you some tips too on how to get started on a shoestring budget and how you can get your blog up, you know, by next week, or how you can start your podcast by next week. And it really isn't expensive. When I started, it was. I mean, I paid thousands of dollars to do my first website. Now, I mean, you can do it for under really $50. But that's besides the point. But the very first thing is, once you have your website up or your podcast, you've got to make sure that you're starting to collect emails, have some sort of email service that can keep track of this. I use AWeber at aweber.com. I love it because that is really going to become the people that are going to stick with you through the years, through everything you do, through everything you build. And even though you don't even know what's coming, you want to start collecting the names and emails, because that's going to become your audience. And I didn't realize that at first, and that was a big eye-opener for me at the beginning. That and the idea of marketing and embracing marketing, because that for me was a big stumbling point too.
So basically what you're saying is it's pretty easy to set up a website. You can think of what your basic message wants to be, what your interests are specifically, and like with WordPress or one of these, it's not too hard to make a nice-looking website. And then to make sure that you have on there a place where people like what you're doing, what you're writing, or you can also have, I guess, a podcast on there too, that there's a place for them to put their name and email address if they want to be part of what you're doing. So then you build up an email list.
Yeah, I mean, in some steps to really jump ahead with it, like if you use the example of what I did, because I was nobody, I was just an occupational therapist working with kids, and I was not known by these worldwide authors. No one knew who I was. I just, you know, I would go see some lectures. I loved, you know, the content. And for me, giving the name radio to Raw Vegan Radio, which was essentially a podcast, it did become a radio show that aired in San Francisco on Green 960 AM, but it started just as a podcast. I mean, and then just contacting some leaders like Dr. Will Tuttle or anyone else and saying that you've got the psychology, this is a radio show, or, you know, that really opened a lot of doors. So, you know, with your intention and what you create and using the word radio instead of podcast, like for me, that really brought me ahead a few steps that, oh, what's this radio show, even though it was just a podcast? Which is essentially a radio show. It's just a different way to deliver it.
Yeah, podcast now is the radio of today. I think you're right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, so can you tell, I'm wondering if you want to go into some of the ins and outs of podcasting, or, how long did it take you to make this whole thing? Has this been, we're talking about many years, or?
Well, for me, I started Raw Vegan Radio like almost 9 years ago. So I was really one of the first people podcasting. And talk about learning from mistakes, because the very first thing we tried to do with it was make it into a premium podcast. So I was interviewed, like I spoke at the New Media Expo in Las Vegas about premium podcasting, how you can make a living through premium podcasting, and I was interviewed on all these different, new media blogging kind of things, like this is going to be the new big thing, and a lot of people thought it would, except it wasn't, and it never took off in that way.
Right.
And I had a company contact me that I was ahead of myself, because there was nothing really that would allow for a paid podcast. So they worked with me to develop it. We developed it, and and we launched it, and it really never took off. So as an entrepreneur, you have to know what's working and what's not. I was able to switch gears and know, okay, this isn't – it felt like it could have taken off, but it just never did. It just – the word podcast was always associated that this is going to be a free audio, not an audio book that people will pay for, even though that's good audio content. There was never a psychology around, okay, I'm going to pay for a podcast. So if you're going to start a podcast, just know that, I mean, my recommendation would be to keep it free as a way to grow your audience, but it's not going to be a way to start paying the bills. That was one thing I learned. We were able to get sponsors once I had a big audience, and that paid some of the bills, but there's lots of other ways that you can pay the bills, and you know, I look forward to sharing that on this call too.
Yeah, good. So, well, maybe we should talk about some of those things. You said, you know, your first step is to get connect with your unique message and then build something. So, you know, get something on the internet and get started attracting people who are interested in what you're doing, and then the second step is the actual to kind of refine your delivery, create your delivery, and work on it. And part of that, I guess, is that you, I mean, it's great to just offer free content. I think a lot of people actually just do that, but it, because they work another job or whatever. But if you want to talk, maybe it'd be interesting to talk about also how would people also be able to be reimbursed for their efforts. And in a way that, you know, feels good to them. I mean, in a way that you feel like you're not selling yourself all the time, perhaps. I don't know. Or maybe you are selling yourself. I'm not sure how it works. But maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, how it is that you give people this free content, like on a podcast or on a blog, and then you find yourself actually making money, too. So I guess you quit your occupational therapy job and at one point, right? And you were able to actually bring in the money through the work you're doing online.
Exactly. And when you dive in, you have to be ready to dive in. I mean, I was at the point where it was sink or swim. I cleared out my retirement, and either this was going to work or it wasn't. And I was going to go back and become an occupational therapist again and you know, not live my passion, but, you know, have work that I was proud of anyway. But, you know, there's nothing like, I know, you know what I mean, Will. I mean, there's nothing like living your passion. It's just,
right.
There's nothing like living your passion. And that's why I said the first thing is knowing what your passion is, even if it is veganism or what asset of veganism or what aspect of environmentalism,
right,
or animal rights or what it is, and your unique voice and your way of delivering the content that separates you from everyone else. Because I made the mistake,
right,
of trying to be like a corporate kind of message, or, you know, this is our radio show, and like there was no face behind it. It was just this,
you know,
and not letting myself come through in the interviews, just putting other people on the pedestal and not, you know, developing into my own. So you have to get over that fear of putting yourself out there and delivering your message in a way that is unique, because every one of us are so unique and we all have our gifts of getting authentic and delivering it in that way. And once you're ready to do that, overcoming that fear of asking for money and learning how to market, because the marketing world is vast and it can be intimidating because you're not sure exactly where to start. For me, it was, all right, I have to build an email list, and like, why and what? I don't want to ask people for money. And that initial email list I built with Raw Vegan Radio, well, it's almost like they became trained to think, all right, well, Steve Prusak, they associate me with free because he's always giving us free content. And once it became a premium podcast, then a lot of people got angry because why are you doing this when you were doing that? And it's like, well,
right,
I'm trying to pay the bills, and that's why. And we put a lot of time and energy and work into what we do. So, you know, becoming proud of what you do and what you create and knowing the energy and love that goes into that, like, once I got over that obstacle, I had no problem with wanting to be compensated for the hard work I'm doing, because in reality, if we can't pay the bills, you know, if we can't eat, then we can't do this work that we love doing. So once I got over that, I just had no problem at all with it. And if there are people that just want to soak up everything I give for free, because there always are. I mean, Vegan Palooza was free. And if people didn't want to pay for the VIP package, then we had – we had everything for 48 hours was free for anyone all over the world. We're still delivering the content, and we're still having the people that are supporting the work we do. So for me, it's finding the balance, still putting out the free content, but then creating extra value for the people that are willing to support the hard work you're doing.
Right. Did you find you had to do, or maybe you can say, like, what type of inner work did you feel you had to do in this whole process? I mean, besides the outer work of learning about the marketing and all of that, which is fascinating, what can you say anything about the inner work you had to do to have all this work?
So much inner work in the, you know, and the fear and the feedback that I was getting from people and just how angry they were, or even, you know, from this World Summits and some of the posts that were being made about me having a yacht that I was going to after I collected all this money, which was totally not true, but extremely upsetting and very distracting when you're trying to produce these worldwide events. So one thing was developing a thick skin to it, you know, learning not to take things personal, and overcoming the fear of success, because once the momentum starts going and doors start opening and you're in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing and you're being compensated for it, then you know, you have to get over that fear of success. Like I would have a fear of launching some things. Like everything would be ready, but I would have the fear of putting it out. Like the fear, and I think a lot of people could relate to that, of putting yourself out there in such a big way, it becomes, you know, when I first did Rawpalooza, I was ready to just shut it down after the first day. I just said I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't handle
it. So much work, or
I couldn't handle putting myself out there in that way, and people posting negative things about you, and when they, I mean, people were saying I wasn't even vegan when I did Rawpalooza. People were saying, well, he's not even vegan, and I came from veganism, so for them to say he's not vegan and he's just a marketer. Well, I knew what that was like. I knew what it was like for people to be out there finding raw food. I won't mention any names, but there are people that came into this, to these niches, that saw it as a way to make money, but their intentions weren't true. And eventually it came out because they're no longer promoting that message, and, you know, they're trying to go more mainstream. But that really, you know, got to me, because when I was lumped into that category of those people, then those were the things that hurt. Those were the things that made me want to shut the whole thing down and say, maybe I'm just cut out to be an occupational therapist. This isn't for me. Those were the obstacles, and those were the moments at night that, you know, my wife spent talking to me and working through it with me and getting back in touch with who I was, why I was doing this, and ignoring the negativity that essentially is going to come no matter what you do.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, you know, because I think when people get more public, when we get more, you know, if our message gets out to more and more people, then the more public we become, the more of a potentially, I guess you could say, a target we can become too, to people. I mean, people can just project all kinds of things or whatever. And so what you're saying is you just develop a thicker skin and not to take it personally and just keep going.
Basically. Yeah, I mean, that's what I did, because at the end of the day – I don't like that term, but it just comes out sometimes. But at the end of it all, I decided, you know, this is my passion, and I've got to keep moving forward with it, because, you know, I didn't shut down Rawpalooza. I kept going with it and overcoming the obstacles that no matter what you do, there are going to be obstacles that you're going to have to overcome, and you know, sleepless nights and nights that you're working. But if it's your passion and it's sink or swim and you're doing what you love, then it's going to – I have no doubt that for whoever you are, it's going to work. It's going to work. If you're in alignment with your passion and you're at the point where you've got enough money to support yourself for a few months at least, that you've saved up some money and you've developed an audience and you've developed something that you feel confident doing, you're delivering your message in a way that's unique, I really have no doubt that if you're in alignment with the universe, it's going to work. And it sounds weird, but I just know it's true. I know we can create whatever reality it is we want. And if we're in that, I mean, I had my own parents were definitely against me doing all this. They helped put me through occupational therapy school. I did it for 10 years. I worked with autism. And the night that Julie and I told them that I was going to go full time with this and I was leaving my OT job, I mean, that was the first thick skin I had to develop, because my mom freaked out on me.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and they didn't get any of this veganism or raw. They don't get any of the work I do, or that you can actually make a living doing it. And I've obviously proved them wrong. They're pretty proud of me now. But at the time, it was extremely difficult to go against your own parents.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, great. So how about talking a little bit, too, about the actual, you know, what you learned, like in terms of creating videos, in terms of creating ebooks and webinars. Do you want to talk a little bit about some things that people can actually, so they can get a feeling for what they would actually be doing? And well, like, what do you actually do, Ben?
Yeah, I want to share some tools for sure. For, you know, and I invite everyone to take out a notepad and just write down some of the things I'm going to share here and clear yourself of all distractions. I should have probably said that at the beginning, because we can become so distracted with what we're doing on the internet and all the different ways media is being delivered to us. So to just really, I want to share some of what I found to be the key tools to build my business. And I've been through, you know, workshops and things. I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars to immerse myself and learn some of the things I'm going to share now. And I'll share as much as I could. And the very first thing is the idea of getting people to help you and not trying to do it all. There's a great resource like odesk.com. That's odesk.com, where you can find freelancers all over the world that I think, I'm not sure if Sassy mentioned them, but you can find, I mean, if you sign up for free and you can post whatever it is, if you want someone to set you up a website, whatever it is, and you put in what your budget is, and people all over the world will bid on your job. And you can find, that's how I found everyone that works for me now. I found through Odesk, and I have incredible people working for me. Not everyone is, but you'll get all these replies to whatever the job is. So if you want someone to set up a WordPress site for you, you'll see all the people that answer the ad in the website, and you can look at their portfolio. You could look at the reviews people gave them, and then you can interview them and see if they're a good fit to work with you. And you'll get, you know, people work at rates that are very affordable from all parts of the world. And that was just, you know, a great, great resource for me. That and Fiverr.com, which is Fiverr.com, where you can find people to do all these different tasks for just $5 a task. From create like a header for your website, so you've got your name, and they'll create for $5. They'll create the header that'll go at the top of the website, and then you have someone build the website. And for like under $50, you'll have created what cost, you know, thousands of dollars just a few years ago.
Wow. So Fiverr.com is for small jobs, kind of, and Odesk.com is more for ongoing work you might want to have done, or for just one job. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Yeah, if you want a graphic designer, that's how I found the person that works with me, my graphic designer, and to find people to do little jobs, and they can end up sticking with you. You can find great people that'll stick with you as your business grows, as you go through people that work, and not everyone does. I mean, that's how I've had ebooks created and all different things. You can have your ebooks created there. You can, you know, do an audio interview with somebody and then have it transcribed and made into an ebook. It can be your first ebook. So people can sign up on your email list and get this free resource ebook that you have created. Those are some of the ways to do it. If you're trying to create like a logo, if you've got a business name, and I would recommend 99 Designs at 99designs.com. That's a place where you pay one price. I think it's like $250, and people all over the world will submit logos, and then you go through them and choose the one you want. They also do website designs, and people can bid on creating a unique custom website for you. These other ones with WordPress, I mean, they have templates and things. I don't want to overwhelm everyone because it's just never-ending, the options now. But there are templates that you can have customized, and someone in Odesk can help customize that for you. Someone in 99 Designs can create a website from scratch for you. So those are some of the ways to get started, and really reasonable. Podcasting, I mean, that is a free plugin for WordPress. So there's one called PodPress. I've been using it for years. PodPress, forget what the link is, but if you Google PodPress, you can find that, and that would just be an added what they call plugin for your WordPress. Plugins are just different, you can call them features of a WordPress site that will allow for different ability for your site to have. And, you know, it would just take a microphone. You can do it over Skype, and you can interview people over Skype and start a podcast, or you can just talk into a microphone plugged into your computer and record it as an MP3. And I know that some of these skills might sound a little advanced, but there's lots of resources on the Internet on how to do these things for free.
Right. So you could do it, right? You could just create your own podcast, just talking into your computer, and then build up a following gradually by offering these, and then just take it from there.
Right. Well, there's one that's for free I could recommend that I started with. I mean, I have a pretty good setup now. It's pretty professional. It's kind of like a radio station at this point, but I mean, I built my way up to this. But when I started, it was just a wireless headset plugged into my computer, and I recorded with a free device called Audacity. That's Audacity. I think it's audacity.com, and that's a way to record from your computer, and then it becomes an MP3 from that. And that MP3 can become your podcast, which you submit through your website to iTunes, and you can have your own radio show in the iTunes store.
Mm, that's great. And everybody can download you from iTunes.
Exactly.
Either for free, or they can pay, either way.
Mm-hmm. Or if you just want to do a blog, once your WordPress site is set up, you just, you know, post your blogs as you would, almost like writing an email to someone. It's just that easy. WordPress is that easy to use. You would just put in new post, type your blog, maybe add a picture, you know, upload a graphic and post it, and there you've got it. You know, you're out on the Internet. The next part is, you know, the most difficult, and it's where a lot of people give up, but it's the marketing. It's the, all right, I've got a website. How am I going to bring people to this? I've got a podcast. How am I going to get people to listen? And that, you know, that is that is the big thing. Especially, it's a big ocean of websites now, and getting recognized is, you know, one of the, you know, the biggest things to start doing. And there are lots of ways to do it, and ways that are free. There are ways that you can put money into. So do we want to go there, Will? I mean, I feel like this can become an ongoing series almost, because there's so much we can share. I told Will we could do like a weekend course on all the different things. So maybe we can take some questions, or would you want me to go in another direction?
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear if anyone has any particular questions or comments, if this is interesting for people. It's a little different, you know, in the sense we're not just talking about the issues. We're talking about some real nuts and bolts kinds of ways we can bring the message of compassion to more people. And I personally think that this can be very helpful for a lot of people. I think almost all of us have some way to use this information, either directly or indirectly, to help either now or in the future that we're, you know, where we're going with this. Because more and more, what I'm finding is the vegan message really is being spread either directly through things like what Madeline and I do, which is mostly lectures and books, you know, which are sort of not internet related. But when people come to the lecture, for the most part, they come because of some internet announcements, email blasts, and meetups, and all of that. And then the whole thing now with the books are much more available online. And so I think almost any way we go, it's going to be good to know this information. And I think, you know, one of the things that would be interesting maybe to hear a little bit more about too, that's related to this, is video, because I think it seems like video is really more and more where people are going. And I was wondering, so far we haven't really talked at all about video. We've just talked about podcasts and blogs. Mm-hmm. What about video?
Yeah, I think video is a huge thing, and that's why podcasting has almost gotten buried because of video and the video revolution. It's amazing what you can do with video, and it is really easy to get started with video. You can get a flip cam for under $99 now, if anyone's familiar with a flip cam. And that plugs into your computer, and you can, you know, you shoot on it, plug it into your computer, and it will upload to YouTube. So you can that easily start a YouTube channel, which would be for free. You can customize it. Like I said, you can go to Odesk and have your YouTube channel customized, or go to Fiverr, have someone do the graphics for $5 there, and start your own TV show. You can do a recipe show, or just connecting, sharing your experience, or whatever it is you want to teach. The power of video is extraordinary, and I think it's just getting bigger now. Plus, you're going to want it on your website. It's the best way to connect with your audience when they land there. If you've got a blog, to have a video message of welcoming them to your site or whatever it is, it is the best way to connect with them. And then down the road, when you create premium paid-for content, video is essential there too, because you want to connect and build trust and get your message out. I think there's so many things that can be done with it. It's amazing. Some of the software I use is Screencast. There's one called Camtasia. Screencast is for the Mac, and Camtasia is for both. I like Screencast better. I've got both. But with this, you can take pictures and create video montages and things like that really easily. It's really easy to get your message out in that way, too. You can, if you don't want to be in the video, you can just do a voiceover and have different images and create really, really compelling content. And that kind of information just goes viral. Everyone just starts sharing it. You can share it on Facebook and have your videos right on there. And it's amazing how that kind of thing takes off. There's so many different ways
right.
to use it.
Right, yeah, that's really true. I think everybody who's listening has probably seen even just an audio talk, but when you add images to it, it's suddenly, and it's on YouTube, suddenly you get thousands of people who never would have heard it because now it's a video, even though it's not video. I mean, it's just there's just whatever there is added to it, some pictures and so forth, and it just really becomes much more appealing. And I think that's the wave of the future, probably, is to bring in. Of course, the thing to remember is that the vegan message, there's so many images that are helpful. The whole mm-hmm. thing of showing not only what's happening to the environment, what's happening to animals, but also showing the delicious foods we can make and showing the celebrations we can have and sharing our experiences. I mean, it's all, I think, enriched by video, by images. And it's something Mel and I are talking about doing more of that, too. It's great.
Yeah, like if you guys looked at veganpalooza.com, and I would guess everyone here has, like that video
right.
that we put together on there, it's compelling. I mean, it's got all the images in
right.
there. We've got video clips of all the speakers in there, and it just really draws you in. You've got Will talking over it. It's just very engaging. And we did that, you know, all these miles apart. He was on the other side of the country, and here we've created this video together.
Right, right. We did it in just a matter of a couple of days, and yeah, exactly. This is the beauty of it. You can create something, and then it's seen by thousands of people from all over the world, and creates an opportunity, a whole energy field around it that draws people to go more deeply into the message. So,
right.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we searched YouTube for Vegan Palooza Now, and we didn't even know it, and Bo Rinaldi made a video about Vegan Palooza, and it had more hits than ours did.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
that's
had
it. That's the beauty
of
it. People, yeah, right. Right. People will just pick it up and run with it.
Right. And that's just yet another way that you're able, you know, when we talk about how I can make money doing this, and even if you haven't made any content, as an affiliate, you can. I mean, you can start making money like right away once you learn all about affiliate marketing and building yourself and then, you know, partnering with other people to help market some of their content that they have, and then you can make a nice commission on that. And we've had people make thousands of dollars working with my company. So it's a win-win when you can, you know, when you learn some of the skills of affiliate marketing, which I think is a whole other topic.
Right. I wonder, maybe it would be good just to mention just briefly what affiliate marketing is, just so people are aware of it and what you're talking about.
Affiliate marketing is it's synonymous with a big brother or a referral program, that kind of thing, where you recommend something to a friend or you recommend a book. But when you're an affiliate, the way it works with the internet, you would sign up as an affiliate. Will and I have a program, actually. Trying to think what the link is. World. Do you know, Will?
Yeah. Oh, you mean for the Vegan Palooza, you mean?
I think we have one for the World Peace Diet, too.
For the facilitator training. Yeah, that's true. Well, the basic idea, right, I mean, is that you get a special link, and so and you say, yeah, check out the World Peace Diet or check out whatever it is you want to have them check out. And then when they go check it out, from what they can see, they just go to the basic web page that where it has it. But it's actually the computer basically notes that this referral came from you. And then there can be if they end up buying something, you get a percentage, something like that. So it's mm-hmm. actually a win-win situation where people. Am I saying that right? Am I explaining it correctly? I think
that's yeah, true. And the great thing about you don't even need a website for that. Like, you can be an affiliate, get the link from us.
Right.
That's going to track everyone that came from your link, and you'll be compensated. You put a post on Facebook or you tweet about something here. Check this out. This Vegetarian World Summit or whatever it is, you're going to get compensated, you know, 30%, sometimes upward of 50% on anyone that signs up for the program. So you can really earn a lot of money just doing that. And for me, initially, that was how I started making money with Raw Vegan Radio. Like, I was getting sponsors, but then I found I was making more money as an affiliate for different programs that I would market to on the website. So part of this also is once you have a website, you can put affiliate banners up on your website. So it's not just doing tweets or Facebook posts. You can put a banner link on your website, and then anyone who goes to that website from the banner they clicked on your site and purchases, you'll be compensated for that. And so that's another way you can market it. And you can market it through emailing the people that signed up on your list and sending them the link that way. You can even create an ad in Facebook, and you know, if you want to, Facebook will have it set up where you can pay $10 a day or $20 a day or whatever for whatever your ad is, and you can put an affiliate link for whatever program it is that you believe in and start marketing it that way. Just make sure the return on investment makes sense. But that's just, you know, another way you can start earning money and doing what you love.
Right. Wow. Well, I'm wondering, we've been talking about this now for quite a while, a good 40, over 40 minutes, and I'm wondering if maybe people are getting it's wonderful, but I think it may be these kinds of things take a little while to kind of one has to sort of think about it, let it sink in, soak in, mm-hmm. be aware of what the possibilities are, how I could relate it to my life, and how I can maybe use this to help spread the vegan message. These are ideas that can be used both just to spread the message or to spread the messages in a way that you get reimbursed for some of your efforts. And I think both are so important to understand today. I don't see any hands being raised, so maybe I was thinking there's a few things I really want to talk about tonight that are sort of unrelated directly to this, and it might be good to see if we can, I think it'd be great next month to talk a little bit more, going a little more deeply into some more ways that we can use the internet with you, Steve, if that's all right with you, and then hear from people if we get any feedback, if you like this, if you'd like to hear more, I think that would be great. And is there anything, Steve, you'd like to add towards the end here? We do have a question. Looks like somebody's hand's up. Is there anything you'd like to add, or would you like to take this question maybe?
Yeah, I guess we can end with this one question. I think we've got area code 760. Hello, you're on the call.
Oh, hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. This is Megan, Pinkus Kajitani, Megan the Vegan.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I wanted to say thank you to Steve. This is wonderful, and I personally would love it if you offered a weekend course or any kind of business coaching for us vegan educators,
right.
You know, launching, because I have so many questions I don't even know how to ask one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be really, really helpful to have someone we know is kind of similar values that can help with the business side. And then I hope this is a little off topic, but I wonder if I could make one other comment to the group.
Sure.
I wanted to see about getting some support. I just put an article up on Huffington Post today. It's a featured article on the green section. and I would love to get some traffic to it. It's a vegan article. It's about the White House turkey pardon. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it has the real serious undertone message. I really felt called to try to save some turkeys this year before Thanksgiving. So I just wanted to let everyone know there's also a petition, just kind of trying to get some attention to the turkeys before Thanksgiving. So I'd love to get support from our group for that.
Wow. Can you tell us the URL or how they would find it?
Yes. If you go to HuffingtonPost.com/green, the green section, it's a featured blog today.
Right.
And it's called Letter to Obama About That Turkey Pardon.
Great.
Yeah, I've tried to post. I put it on our Facebook, on the World Peace Diet Facebook page. But I would love for it to stay up so it doesn't get buried, you know, so we could really get some people thinking about the turkeys.
Great.
Okay, everybody, that's a great idea. If you haven't signed up yet for the World Peace Diet group, I mean, this is just a big Facebook group. It's like about 5,500 people. But it's a good place, I think, to just post things as well as, you know, we've got our wonderful, our own profit website that we use here. What do we call it, Steve? The community forum.
Right.
And but also we have the World Peace Diet Facebook page as well as the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training. There's a group there on Facebook too. Both of those are open if you're interested, and it's a nice place to communicate. And I think I do remember it was right before our call, so I don't think I had a chance to really check it out. But the Huffington Post, it's great that you have something on the Huffington Post. That gets a lot of readers, and it's a great way to bring the message of compassion to people and having a petition on top of it. That's wonderful. So let's go there and support that. Thank you so much, Megan, for
Thank
doing
you.
That and getting that published.
Great.
Wonderful. Great. Okay. So, and it sounds like what Megan was also saying, Steve, is from her point of view anyway, that she'd like to hear more about what you're saying, and I agree that it's the kind of thing. I mean, you talked about spending thousands of dollars going to probably thousands of hours of trainings, or maybe not thousands, but hundreds of hours probably, of trainings about using the Internet in various ways to help. So I know there's really a huge amount of material, and we don't want to give the impression that this is just a quick and easy thing. But on the other hand, I think like what you're emphasizing too is that you just started out and you just learn by doing. You just start out, you know, what you know how to do, and then as you move along, following some of these suggestions, questions will come up and you can get them answered either directly or indirectly, you know, maybe by us or by other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is to remember that, you know, 75 million animals a day are being killed. And it's only because human beings are programmed into these behaviors, and we can offer a counterweight to that. And one place that everybody's congregating together, like the global commons, is really the World Wide Web and all the multiple platforms that are being supported on phones and iPads and computers and every other place. And we can bring this message so people see it in a way that is engaging and humorous and shocking and instructive and whatever way you think could be used. I've been seeing lately just an explosion, and you probably have too, everybody, of videos and of books and of recipes. I mean, all kinds of things are coming out. Just the momentum is really building, and I think the Veg World magazine, you know, your magazine is just an indication of that. You know, now we have this great vegan magazine on iTunes that's just really getting a lot of people turned on to these ideas in both practical ways as well as the philosophical urgency of the whole thing. We're able to connect it to spirituality. We're able to connect it to health, to the fact, you know, just all the diseases people are having. We're able to connect it to the environmental problems. We're able to connect it to compassion for animals and to compassion for people. I mean, there's just really so many links that are crying out to be made, And we can say, oh, we can sort of stand on the sidelines and cheer people on, but we can also do something ourselves, I think, to do that. So if you have any inclination in this direction, I think, honestly, we have with Steve, we have a great resource here. You know, basically, you probably are all aware of this, but, you know, from my point of view, you know, I was just the guy who was a university professor and longtime vegan and traveling around with Madeline going to putting on lectures on the World Peace Diet after the book came out. And Steve really saw the potential in many ways, I think, of the World Peace Diet message, and said, let's partner together and help get this out to more people. And that's really what's the, you know, the result is all of this. So that's a lesson in and of itself right there, you know, what we can do when we team up and we combine our skills. You know, one person has a certain set of skills, another person has another set of skills. Instead of trying to do everything, we don't have to do everything. We can contribute our skills, work together, cooperate as a team. So I really encourage everybody, if you're listening, to think about not only doing everything yourself, but maybe partnering with somebody who has another set of skills that would match you, what you have, and together to co-create something that could be fantastic. You know, we could really reach large numbers of people. We see this happening a lot, I think, with a lot of the organizations, of course, that have developed a lot of the, we see it happening in blogs and videos and just a whole lot of different places we see this happening. Mm-hmm. Behind launches of things, there's more and more examples of this. So I think it's really helpful to get more aware of what we're, when we see something on the internet, think a little bit about, well, so that's interesting, this came to me, so what did it take to get for this to get to me, and, you know, what techniques did they use so that I actually opened it and I'm interested, and, you know, mm-hmm. see what's working, and think about actually the wonderful, you know, what you said, Steve, I thought was so important. There's nothing greater than living your passion and to make it, you know, to actually be supported financially by doing what you love to do. So, because I think, you know, all of us are raised in a culture where in many ways we're disempowered by a system that basically is telling us, do what we want you to do, and if you don't do it, we'll find somebody who, we'll pay somebody else who'll do it. And so we all think, well, I guess I better do it, otherwise, you know, how am I going to feed the family or feed myself or whatever it is? And so, you know, there's nothing wrong, I think, with doing a job to make money. Yeah, you know, and at the same time doing, you know, a great something that's really helping the animals, mm-hmm. or, you know, what we love to do. But there's something, I think, even more explosively empowering when we can just let go of that and devote ourselves completely to what we love, and we find ourselves then suddenly, I think this is sort of a universal principle that when we move in the direction of our dreams, that the universe will open doors for us where we couldn't have even imagined such doors to have been. We couldn't even think of it. And suddenly you'll get a phone call and somebody say, what about doing this? And how about doing this? And I had this idea. I saw you did this blog and, you know, I'd like to add this to it, or well, maybe you could do this, and who knows. So we can really, I think.
Right. Well, there's no better example when I saw your blog and we'd like you to write The Complete Idiot's Guide to Juice Fasting. I mean, that would have never happened if I wasn't blogging. I was on a juice fast and I blogged about it. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you just don't know who's reading it.
Right, exactly. Now you're getting a book from a major publisher, from Penguin Books. I mean, people.
Yeah, they came to me.
People like, oh, I wish I could find a publisher.
I know.
People saying that to me. And then here you go. You just do a blog, and suddenly you've got a major publisher just calling and saying, yeah, do a book for us, please. So
I mean,
this is the last thing.
Last thing I just wanted to share is that, I mean, first of all, I know how overwhelming this could be, and that's why next time just please ask more questions so I can really devote it to where everybody is on their journey, because I don't want to overwhelm everyone with it. And I'm just sharing some of my experience, and there is so much I could share in different areas of this.
Right.
The one thing, when I was talking to Julie about it, I said, well, what should I share? Like, what do you think is like the number one thing that I've done that's worked, that why everything is working perfectly? And it's that idea of the entrepreneurial looking ahead of things, like seeing, like for me, it's been looking at the next thing that's coming. And like with the magazine, I saw that there was this only like 3,000 magazines in the newsstand, and there was nothing on vegetarianism at that time. Now there are, but I said, there's nothing else there. Let me create this magazine and veganism is getting so big, this would be the perfect thing. So it's looking at the technology and then maybe looking a little ahead of what's coming down the hill so you can be the first one to jump in. And I mean, when I say this, think about that, because there are no animal rights magazines in the Apple newsstand. There, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there if you look for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point, Steve. Yeah, really, just kind of tune into what the next trend, what the trends are. And I really, it's becoming obvious that the next trend is away from turkeys for Thanksgiving and for compassionate Thanksgiving. So I think that's, you know, we can see that coming. The fact that Megan has a, you know, has a blog on Huffington Post saying basically that, I think just shows that more and more people are realizing it's terrible for their health, it's terrible for the environment, it's terrible for animals, and it doesn't have to be that way. And so what can we do? You know, there's lots of things we can do to help move the ball forward. So, all right, well, yeah, that may be a nice assignment for everybody for the next 3 weeks, because we only actually have now, in a way, we don't have the full usual month, because the third Thursday of November is the 15th of November. So we're planning on having that be our next call. So maybe between now and the 15th, it'd be great, Steve, if you can join us with this subject again, I think, and we can go into it maybe a little more deeply, and also with maybe specific questions that people have. And then, of course, also we can talk about other things too. But I think it would be great.
Think the best thing is if you can come with a question and I could see where you are, then we can, you know, move forward and I can gear these segments. I can do a segment each time after our special guest. I can just give you a segment and some tidbits based on where I learn what everybody wants to know. I'm totally open to that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And I think that's really, people pay huge amounts of money to get this kind of information on. It's not that easy to find. So it's very valuable. I think it's as valuable as we make it be. I think sometimes, you know, if people pay a lot of money for information, then they use it. They're committed, so they'll use it. And if it just comes for free, then people say, they kind of forget it because they didn't pay for it. That's one of the reasons I don't like to give away World Peace Diet books, because very often people just say, oh, if I give a free book, then they'll just put it on the shelf and they won't read it. But if they pay something for it, then they're more likely to actually read it.
That's a whole other, whole other marketing obstacle that we'll definitely talk about in future discussions of getting over that. That's a definite perceived value. And when people pay for something versus, you know, how you price things, it's unbelievable. I've tested it, and I'll share some of my experiences about that.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that next time. All right, people, thanks again for being with us. I'd like to spend a few minutes here. It's already after, you know, where we are on the East Coast, it's already after 10 o'clock. I just want to go over a few things with everybody here. And, of course, again, if you have any anything you'd like to share with the group or any questions or comments, please feel free. You'll see from the resources that I handed out that we were pretty busy over the last month in terms of getting things up on the web. There's this new article, The Only Way to Preserve Our Rights, Eating Vegan, The Only Way to Preserve Our Rights. The title I had was, Madeline thought it would be good if I changed it. I had the title was Eating Vegan, The Only Way Out of the Police State. And she thought that's a little too strong. So The Only Way to Preserve Our Rights, she thought was better, and I think it's a good idea. But anyway, there's that article, which is on One Green Planet, and there's also some other videos. We spoke a number of events that were videos that came out well, and we put them up on the Internet, so feel free if you want to see any of those. And interview with the Vigil for the Pigs. That was really very interesting in Toronto. These people are so dedicated. This is, you know, to me, this is an example of compassion in action. This woman who's more or less in charge of it, but it was sort of her idea. She lives near an intersection where pig trucks come by every morning, you know, going on the way to a slaughterhouse. And she just finally went vegan and finally made the connection of what's going on here and went out to the corner. There's like an island in this sort of busy road. and with signs, and has basically been going 3 to 5 days a week in the morning for a couple of hours, always there, 12 months of the year, rain, snow, sun, whatever, and always has a number of people with her. People just admire her tenacity, and so other activists come, and it's like a little party, and people have leaflets that hand out, and everybody has to stop at the light there. So you're stopped at the light, and you have your leaflets, and you have your signs, and hand them out to people and talk to them, and then the pig trucks come by, and you can actually see, and you can really touch the pigs. I mean, they're just right there in these livestock trucks. You can look in their eyes and know that in a few minutes they're going to be killed. And so it's very poignant and touching, and at the same time you're actually reaching people. So it was kind of, you know, I just love seeing all these various ways that people help bring this message to the population. And the nice thing is they do quite a few things. Some mornings they give out free vegan food to everybody that stops, and they also have been featured on the news a number of times, so that it's not just the people who are there in the cars. They actually get seen by, you know, thousands of people when they're featured on the news, on the morning news. And they also do, now they're starting to do yearly gatherings of various kinds, and meals and so forth. So there's all kinds of ways that we can bring this message to the world, and I'm trying to give some examples here. Also, this Dr. Don, he's a great guy. If you have any experience and would like to be on a radio show, he's out of north of Phoenix. He just did an interview with me on Thursday. Tuesday, I guess it was, on the domination of the feminine. He loves the World Peace Diet and is an osteopathic doctor. But I think there's lots of ways that we can get the message out through the mainstream. Like, he's pretty mainstream, but he's open to this message. Also, please check out the Pollination Project. I think that's I've listed this here. I've actually gotten much more cognizant of the Pollination Project, and basically we've talked about it before, but it's up and running. They're fulfilling grant requests now. You can just go to the Pollination Project website, fill out an application. It goes, and actually, if it's something that you feel really good about, and it's basically a mini grant of $1,000 to help spread the message, the vegan message, the message of compassion, and or something related, social justice as well. We know the people behind it. And they've actually asked me to be an ambassador for the Pollination Project, which means basically that if you let me know what you're doing, I can recommend it, and then it's pretty much guaranteed. I can't say it's totally guaranteed, but they told me that carries a lot of weight. So anyway, this is sort of just letting you know that there's definitely funds available. It's now really happening, and there's no reason to delay, really. I mean, if you have a project, the basic idea is that to be a project that you can do, and to be able to articulate what it is and how it will help people, or how it will help the animals or future generations. And they're really looking for projects that they can fund. So please check that out. And then there's a lot of other great news here. I mean, just this past month has been just full of both heartbreaking and inspiring news. I mean, there's the Mustangs being eradicated from the West, and then there's also the fact that we're having just continued decreases in meat and dairy consumption. I won't go over all these articles right now, but you can just, you know, have a look. I'm just kind of looking through here. The September Veg E-News, these Veg E-Newses have a lot of great articles. Just want to let you know to encourage that. Also, this great short, I encourage you to see this, James Cameron, the film director. He's the filmmaker that made Avatar and also Titanic, probably the largest grossing films in the history of the world. And he now is a vegan. He's an outspoken vegan, and it's just wonderful to hear his short speech that he recently made in Monterey to a bunch of people who are not vegans. They were environmentalists, so-called, and ocean lovers, so-called. And he just laid down the challenge to them that if they really want to be environmentalists and really want to care about the oceans, that they should go vegan, stop eating fish. And so I love this, that we're seeing more and more high-profile people bringing this message to the world, and I think this trend is definitely going to keep building. And we also were able in a couple of weeks, actually just last week, that's why we couldn't do the call last week. We had the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training. Our own Tara was there. Tara came all the way from Southern California to join us in Cincinnati, which was wonderful. And we had a group of people that were certified as facilitators, a new group, new batch, and at the same time we were able to all take for the very first time a new training that's been developed by the same people that are doing the pollination project. They have funds and they're hiring people to create this Becoming the Peace program, which is an educational video-based program. I say video-based, I mean it's basically just watching videos and discussing them, helping us to become more conscious of the impact of our food choices and our lifestyle on the planet and on our health and on animals. And the whole idea is to bring the vegan message to the mainstream in a big way through trainings that are like typically a one-day training that could be done through churches or through other community groups. And so the idea is to refine this. They're already off to a great start. They've created a video. It needs to be refined some more, but there definitely are openings for a few people to lead these trainings. But I think it's a great thing for just to become aware of, and it's something we can all participate in. So you can go ahead and find out more about that too. Becoming the Peace. I guess I don't have a thing here, but the Pollination Project is the same people that do that. So we can talk more about how we can find out more about that. But it's definitely growing and happening, and we'll have more news as time goes on. Just email me if you have any questions about any of these things. So I think that's pretty much everything for now. There's Madeline and I are heading west on our tour. We're going to be in Iowa, which is kind of exciting. Iowa actually has some vegans there, and they're interested in the vegan message. It's considered probably one of the most meat-friendly states in terms of legislation. They've actually passed some of these terrible laws that don't allow anyone to take any images of factory farms and so forth. But there's quite a subculture in Iowa of people who are trying to bring the vegan message to the world. And then we'll be in Utah and Salt Lake City. And it's great to see even there's a vegan community as well. So I think we're seeing the vegan message spreading into every nook and cranny as time goes on. It's going to be coming to more and more people. And so for us, it's been really just a fascinating month. We've had a chance to meet with so many people. Going to Google headquarters, I maybe just got to say a couple of words about that. That is a huge place. I mean, there's like 25 or something different buildings, thousands of employees. They wouldn't tell me how many, but I know over 10,000 employees. They have 35 different cafeterias. And we actually, when we had dinner there was just so many vegan options. I mean, these cafeterias are huge with Indian and Chinese and Mexican and all kinds of different cuisines, most of them with a lot of vegan options. And we had dinner with a woman who's one of the four coordinators of all 35 of their cafeterias, and she was telling us very much how their goal is to be completely GMO. And we have the GMO vote coming up in California, actually, which is a huge thing. And right now they're already about 50% organic. Their goal is to be 100% organic. They order so much food, very often they can't even source it. They're in such large quantities. But anyway, it was just great to see how they're trying to really consciously introduce vegan foods as much as possible. They want to have a healthy workforce. They have really, I think, very happy employees. All the food is free to them. And besides all these cafeterias, they have all the, even many more food stations. Their whole philosophy is that any worker should never be more than 150 feet from food. So they can go, and these food stations are really quite elaborate. And they have a lot of very healthy foods there, too. You can get smoothies and fruits and all kinds of things. So they can just go and grab food. And the whole layout, we were actually allowed to go where no one's allowed to go, back into where the offices are, where people are working. And it was so great to see how whimsical and creative and supportive they are. They have massage for the employees, and they have child care, and they have laundry facilities, and they have food and very sofas with guitars on them, and places where people make art and play around, and volleyball courts and vegetable gardens. And I mean, I was really impressed in the sense that they were consciously, I think, trying to make their employees really happy and let the creative juices flow. And I think that's maybe, if there's going to be corporations, they need to be, and they want to be successful. I mean, the nice thing is she was telling us that Google has really emulated, in terms of other corporations are looking at how they're doing things and thinking, well, we better do the same thing. So it's not just the Google employees that are benefited by this, but I think, in a sense, all employees are, if they're being raised as a model. And I think that's why it's so important for us in the vegan movement to be models of what it is to be a vegan, to do the spiritual work that's necessary to do so that we can bring a sense of peace and kindness and love and harmony to situations so that people want to emulate how we're living. I think that's the way we really let the movement grow the best, is by being kind and loving in our relationships with others, being thoughtful and listening to them, and then offering our own experience. You know, we do these role-playing exercises. It was really fun to do the role-playing. That's one of the things I always miss a little bit in the online version of the World Peace Diet Facilitator training, is that it's kind of fun in a group to go through these role-playing exercises together and really try out the different roles. It's really fun. But anyway, the main thing we learn in that really is the art of listening, the art of agreeing with people, not just fighting and arguing, and the art of also of just speaking our own truth, you know, what we found out for ourselves, and no one can ever argue with that, you know. So I think that's very helpful. And as we just learn more and more and more about what's really going on, what's happening behind the curtain, what is the truth of health, you know, how plants really do provide us with all the nutrients that we need, and that we get more and more confident, and we are able to really respond to people's doubts and questions or their hostility in a way that plants seeds of positive change for them. As we say over and over again, we cannot actually forcibly force someone else to change. It would be that wouldn't be in the way a vegan thing to do, but we can plant seeds, and we can plant seeds effectively. And I think the most effective way we can plant the seeds is by making an effort to really understand what veganism actually is, the ramifications of our food choices are, and to bring our lives into alignment with the underlying values as much as we can, so that we're treating everyone with kindness and respect, even those so-called opponents or enemies or whatever, to treat them with kindness and respect, and really to remember that all of us in this society have been forced into eating animal foods, and that we've been therefore forced in many ways to take on an internal mentality that very often is abrasive, aggressive, self-serving, violent in various ways. Because eating animal foods basically brings out the worst in people. It brings out the worst in the workers who have to do the work, and it really in many ways brings out the worst in people who have to eat these animals. So as we go vegan, we still, I think, have to make an effort to reduce the inner the manifestation of this official story that we've been embodying. So not be judgmental, not be quick to criticize and so forth, and have compassion for people who are in many ways stuck and just following orders that they've been told at a very deep level from their own parents and from everyone closest to them that they have to follow. They have to eat meat to get their protein, and they're just doing what they're told to do. And so to have compassion for them and to work together to see that we're all on the same side. And it's this cultural program of violence that really, if there's any enemy, it's just this program that we can, in a sense, develop an ability to remove. We're all helping each other to remove this program. And I think that's the beauty of what we're doing together, is we're learning together how to do this. And that's really the foundation of what's, I think, and then from that we can do the kinds of things Steve's talking about. We can take the understanding that we have, we can share it with other people. And what Steve is talking about are the technical sort of side of things. But it's really important, of course, obviously, the foundation of everything is that we carry this in our hearts and that it's really in our bones. And and we don't have to use the Internet either. I mean, there's people that bring this message very powerfully through phone calls and through personal interactions as well. However, I think using the Internet is also opens up a lot of doorways for us as well. So, all right, much love to everybody. I want to thank everyone, all of you, for joining us. It's just a real honor to be able to be sharing this work together. Madeline and I, as we travel around, and we actually have the opportunity to meet hundreds and hundreds of vegetarians and vegans and people on the path to veganism, and many people who have really devoted their lives, or large parts of their lives anyway, to helping to spread this message. We always say that the best part of being a vegan really is the wonderful fellow vegans we meet and get to work together with and share with and play with cry with. It's rewarding. It's very deeply rewarding, even though it can be absolutely excruciating to be aware of what animals are going through. But it's wonderful to know that there are people who care. There are people who are passionate about bringing harmony to our world and to moving ahead and creating a positive future. And that we're not alone. That we're actually blessed to have others of like mind, and to encourage these relationships and to encourage each other, and to help create communities. So keep up the great work you're doing, everyone. I know that there are people doing World Peace Diet facilitator trainings all over the place, as well as putting on study groups and doing things in a variety of ways. And so, anything that we can do to help move this forward, let's share these ideas in the community forums. Feel free to share ideas in the World Peace Diet study groups, Facebook groups, as well as the any other way, through emails. Feel free to be in touch with me or with Steve if you have any feedback or questions or concerns about anything. We're definitely here for you. And I want to thank you all for your efforts that you're making. And always remember that no effort is ever lost. Every effort we make does help in the end. All right, so let's give a big thank you to Steve also for joining us today, and a thank you to everyone who's, all of you who've been part of this call. Have a wonderful few weeks till we see you again figuratively in November. And let's hope for the best that this GMO Prop 37 will pass. That's a whole other subject we can talk about. We're working pretty hard to try to spread the message about that, and I'm really grateful to Steve for making a special Veg World issue about that too, to raise consciousness about that. Monsanto is spending over $1 million a day to defeat this, and apparently they've been very effective in that. So we need your prayers and support, not only for that, but obviously for everything we're doing. So much love to you all. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll look forward to next time. Thanks.